Welcome to Threshold Stories, crossing thresholds one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Gora.
Hello, everybody. This is episode 102. I'm going to call it Sticks and Stones Can Break My Bones, but Names Will Never Hurt Me, or just Sticks and Stones for short. So in order to get to the point of why I told you that, I have to go back through a little bit of what it's like to be a writer, a real writer in that sense of real, meaning to get books out on shelves and in Amazon and places like that. So when I create a manuscript, there's lots of people involved. From my local end, sometimes there's a local editor. Zach, thanks for chiming in and doing what you've done over the year or so. And then I have a graphic artist, a girl named McKenna, who doesn't live far from here. She's involved in a lot of my work. And once I've got everything from them into a place where I feel like I can't go much further without help, that's when my publisher comes into play. So I have contract with my publisher and I hand them my manuscript and my locally created artwork. Well, the artwork gets put on the back burner for a while and the manuscript gets produced first. What I mean by produced means it goes to proofreaders and editors and they review it not only for correctness, but content, tone, grammar, make sure that the message that's being delivered is clear. And if any of those are incorrect, then they come back to me with a copy of the manuscript with either changes that they've recommended or changes that I need to make. And I can either accept or reject the changes that they're making. And then I have to thoughtfully consider these places where they think something is wrong or incorrect and I have to rework it. So from when I give it to them, I have to wait a few weeks till I hear back from them. Then they have to wait a few weeks to hear back from me. And then I hear just a few days until I hear back from them. And then a few days later, they hear back from me. And by then, we're on our third iteration or so of doing this. And we get to a place and everybody says, yeah, we don't need to change it anymore. And I sign some documents that say, this is done. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, we bless it. And it gets handed over toward another side of production where art comes in and layout and design gets involved. But and my fourth book that I'm working on right now, it's called Letters to and From Eternity. Unlike the past three works, which are all part of a trilogy, a timeline of what was happening in the first century in a fictitious way, this is a series of short stories about people who are either in eternity trying to give a message back to the people they love who aren't, or they're on their way to eternity and they're processing what that means. So there's a story of a man who's dying of COVID. He's been in the hospital for a month. And during the last few hours of his life, God allows him to have an out-of-body experience. So he walks around and sees things. He can't interact, but he sees things, kind of like Patrick Swayze in Ghost. But one specific story of interest is I decided to write a piece on the Battle of Gettysburg. Specifically, that was a 19th century battle, 1863, first couple of days of July. Something like 150,000 men were involved from both sides. And of that, 50 plus thousand died. Most of them Confederate, but there were still a lot of Union soldiers that died as well. And the story's starting point is there's a specific Confederate soldier who's standing in line, waiting to get into heaven because there's been so many warriors that arrived all at once. There's a backlog of people waiting to get to the judgment seat of the Lamb. So there's a long line. And granted, that's fictitious at best, but it creates a good visualization. And he is amazed to discover that there are members of the Union Army standing in line to go into heaven. He doesn't know how that's possible, considering their position. He thought there's no way they're Christians. Well, the Union soldiers have an identical opinion of him, wondering to know how in the world could these Confederate yokels be standing to get in line. And the story is a series of four letters written by him back to his commanding officer in the Confederate Army because he's still on the front lines and his job when he was in the Army was to go ahead and report back what's going on. So he's sending a report back from the line getting ready to get into heaven. And as he's in line, I decided I wanted to make it as authentic as possible to tell the story, because this is a story. This is a book about healing. This is a book about things that happen in eternity. Well, this young man who's standing in line, I decided to make him the quintessential, typical Southern boy from the 19th century. And of course, he's racist, right? He sprinkles the word nigger out of his mouth like some of us use salt and pepper. And granted, that word has evolved to have a much more toxic meaning today than it did back then. It was still derogatory. But in general, he was using it in a derogatory sense toward people that were considered his property. Those were slaves for most of this man's life, and they had only recently become free. So as I wrote this book from his perspective, from telling a story back to his commanding officer, I used this word. Well, the publisher had a hard time with that word, and they said, you can't use that word. Well, one of the people within production, not my editor, but somebody within production had a hard time with that word. So you got to change it. I said, okay, I changed it. So I changed out that story and I pulled that word out and I replaced it with Negroes, figuring that could convey that same sense of disgust or lack of equality that racism has as its underpinning tone. And she didn't like that either. So I said, okay, I got one. I'm going to use the phrase stupid blacks, figuring that would give out that same sense of hatred that I was talking about. And she says, no, you can't do that either. Well, at that point, I said, I've got to pull this story. We can't include this one story in the book because I can't talk about them in a neutral way as the 21st century is kind of mandating, or in a racially blind way, because that's not how it was in the 19th century. In fact, this was a core component of the identity of people from the South during that period of time. And I told her, you need to read this story before you make these holistic claims. You ought to pray about it as well. I even put that in writing. I told her, you ought to pray about it. And I didn't hear from her for, 24 hours, something like that, which is rare. Because when you get to this third iteration in a book, the back and forth exchanges are pretty rapid because everybody's wanting to get on to the next step, right? And then she finally came back and said, okay, I've went upstream with this again, and we're going to keep your manuscript. So we're back to having the racial slurs inside of it. To whatever extent that debases my publisher, I can't answer. But anyways, as I was going through that, I had a deeper thought. And my thought was, why are they so concerned with just a couple of words that were historically correct? Why was it about that? And it got back to that phrase, or that myth, I guess I should say, that sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, the truth is, names, in fact, do hurt us. They do cause suffering. They do cause us to think differently about ourselves. And that's always been the case, right? We always said, don't use these words. Don't say those words. And as I dug even deeper and I look at the first, sentence of the first chapter of the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So even God starts off all things with Word. There's this idea that there had to be some sort of creation event, some kind of matter-energy exchange. The scientist in me, the matter-energy exchange that was somehow a part of, quote-unquote, the beginning. But even before that, even before there were things, even before there were sticks and stones, there was the Word. So anytime somebody shares with you that sticks and stones will break your bones, that is true. But the concept that names will never hurt you, no, that's not true. Our society teaches us that we're supposed to be tough and we're supposed to somehow not let what people say get to us. Oh, by the way, what people says gets to us, and that's okay. It is my prayer that you guys can get something out of this and perhaps share it. Don't expect to get any more information about the availability of that book yet, because it's still in the design stage. It's out of the editing stage. I would imagine it'll be released early 2022. I don't know that. Book 3 isn't going to be released until November of 2021. So there's still 2 months or so out from that book. But I'll keep telling you stories about my stories.
Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, One Story at a Time. Ready to cross more thresholds with me in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora Team USA.